thought that today, just speaking to you briefly, it would be good on this Fine Arts Sunday to do a recap of the sermon series we're in, which is called Gifts of the Spirit, Spiritual Gifts, because it's often confusing to people. For instance, if you look at the band, we're watching talents. That doesn't mean that they're necessarily using spiritual gifts, though I think they are. And perhaps this will help you as we talk about this today. We all have talents, things that we're good at. You don't have to be the best to have a talent, but you know, there may be something, maybe even a hobby that you enjoy doing. And they come in many varieties, but spiritual gifts are unique. And I want to talk about it for just a moment because it's always been our prayer that we can clear up some of the confusion, the misconception that kind of orbit around gifts of the Spirit. Now, we begin this morning by looking at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. And Paul, in writing to the Corinthian church, uses two key words here. Now, about spiritual gifts, I do not want you to be ignorant. I mean, right away, you see, it's pretty apparent that misunderstanding or not understanding spiritual gifts was a problem in Paul's day, and it still is today. Because some churches totally ignore what Scripture says about spiritual gifts. Then you have other churches where it's a huge deal. In fact, that's what they're known for. And often we see Pentecostal churches making a major emphasis on spiritual gifts, and some of the more formal denominations just bypassing them altogether. Well, which is right? I mean, that's part of the question. And then again, you may be thinking, what in the world has this got to do with me? Because I'm a teacher. I'm a stay-at-home parent. I'm a carpenter. I don't work for the church. Why are you talking about spiritual gifts and saying that I have some? And then you may be asking, what in the world are spiritual gifts anyway? Let me just give you a basic definition that Chuck Swindoll came up with. He said, a spiritual gift is a God-given ability. So listen to that. It's given by God. That enables the Christian, followers of Jesus, to function in God's family with ease, efficiency, and accomplishment, a sense of accomplishment. It's pretty straightforward there. God gave me something that allows me to work in the body of Christ that makes things easier, helps things get done, gives me a sense of I'm doing something. Now, importantly, we also learn from the Bible that every follower of Jesus has at least one gift. All of you have at least one gift, is what I want you to hear. 1 Peter 4:10, for instance, is one of the many places that tells us this. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. In fact, if you read through the New Testament, you'll learn that there are different kinds of gifts, okay? There's quite a variety. There's different lists, but some say 30-something, some say 20-something, but there's a lot of gifts out there. All gifts are given by God. It is God who determines the gifts you get, not what your parents make you do when you're a kid and they drive you every afternoon to do that, okay? And we all have at least one gift. I think if you can remember those four things, you're off to a good start. Different kinds of gifts given by God who determines what we get, and we all have at least one. So the truth is, you are a gifted individual. Now, some of you perhaps have never heard that, or you don't believe that. But when you recognize and use your gifts, it really is an incredible experience. So you might ask, what are those gifts? Well, there are a list of spiritual gifts in the Bible. There are seven key passages in the New Testament. Some people focus on six, but there are these lists, as you read through, of gifts that begin to pop out. And these are the spiritual gifts, and we learned that they're needed, that there's an important role they play, and that if we're not using our gifts, the church, even this church, is not at full strength. So let's go back to 1 Corinthians 12. I mentioned that a moment ago when Paul says there's a variety of gifts, but I don't want you to be ignorant about that. 1 Corinthians 12:4, for instance, points out that there are different kinds of gifts, which reminds me that I need to discover what are my gifts. In verse 5, there are different kinds of service. That is, there's different ways I can use my gifts. So the thing is, use them. Start figuring out where they can be used. Let me give you, for instance, some of you would never say that you have the gift of evangelism. You have this idea of what an evangelist looks like. You know, somebody puts up a tent in a field and preaches hellfire and brimstone, you know, until everybody finally gives in and comes forward. That's not really what Scripture talks about. Have you ever sat next to somebody, it could be at the hospital, in their home, at work, who's been through a hard time, and they're going, I don't know what I'm going to do. I mean, things are a mess. I'm really hurting. And maybe you said something like, well, I know God loves you. Immediately, you've become an evangelist because you're pointing them to God and God's love. And it can be that simple. It can be more complex, but please never assume you don't have that gift because of the world's definition, which is why we're looking through these gifts with you in church, taking 6 weeks to look through. We're at the halfway point. You know, the Bible tells us that there are a variety of gifts which God has given to his followers to use for good, for sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, and to help build the kingdom of God. That's that peaceable place. Now, I know the gifts can be a bit overwhelming when you're paging through Scripture. You start reading these texts and you go, what in the world does that mean? What is the gift of tongues? Or what is the gift of apostleship? And we start saying, that's not part of my tradition or my understanding. So we gloss over them, which is always a mistake. Because what I've found is, when you really look at what those gifts are, especially as they're found in Scripture, it becomes a lot simpler, though the words have been complicated by our culture. So one of the ways we can look at the gifts, we could go through those 6 or 7 scriptures and just show you a list. Now, there are some gifts that are repeated from one scriptural text to another. There's another way we can present them to you, which is what I've got up on the screen there. This is a way of taking those gifts, doesn't matter which scripture they appear in, but putting them in categories. I mean, just look at the categories for a moment. They're guiding, influencing, fellowship, task, and support gifts. It's one way of doing it. There are other ways of doing it, but hopefully this will be helpful to you. For instance, guiding gifts make things happen. Apostleship, the leaders in the church, or leadership, the second gift there, could be anywhere. It could be in your workplace, in your family, in your community. It could be in the church. But as God gifted you with the gift of leadership, all of us know some folks who have that gift of leading. But when they lead according to what God is wanting to do, what did I tell you? Sharing the love of Jesus Christ, building the kingdom, those kind of things, then they're showing the spiritual gift of leadership. And it could be for a small group, a Sunday school class. It could be with their kids. It could be leading, you know, a whole state, any number of ways. But that's an important gift, as they all are. Influencing gifts, that second category, they communicate God's word. Guess what I'm using this morning? I'm using the gift of prophecy, which is better translated, preaching. I know, you think that prophets are supposed to put on, you know, camel's hair and eat locusts. And I'm probably not going to do that, but that's the misnomer we think. We said those are the crazy guys in the Old Testament. But look again, because what it literally means is sharing the word of God in a way that's convincing, that draws people to God. And often you see that when the preacher gets up here, but it's not the only place it happens. That third gift, category, is fellowship gifts. These are gifts that care for people. And I've watched so many of you do that over and over and over again. I've watched somebody struggle with their child, and you've come alongside of them and said, let me help you. You know, you've helped that child. You've helped that parent. Do you understand that's one of those gifts? It's a very compassionate gift. It's a merciful, hospitable gift. It encourages. It heals. Sometimes your words, your thoughts, your deeds are healing. And those are gifts that you're using. That fourth category, task gifts, they support God's work. And without those gifts, we're in trouble. I remember preaching this series back in West Palm Beach years ago, and there was a fellow who every week said, I don't see my gift, I don't see my gift, I don't see my gift, until we got to craftsmanship. This is the guy who was using his tools, his knowledge of building, to go out and help people who could not help themselves, often the elderly in their homes. where maybe a door needed to be replaced or a wheelchair ramp needed to be built. And I told him, I said, you know, your gift's the only one that is clear in the Old Testament. It's the gift of craftsmanship. And we read about it when we read about the building of the temple. It is very clear. And he just yelled out the Sunday I said craftsmanship and explained it. He goes, that's mine. Just interrupted the whole service. Everybody went, good. Because he was just about to give up. Everybody has at least one gift. The support gifts are important too. And this is where we find there's abuse quite often. And we'll talk about that. That'll be the last Sunday in this series in about 3 weeks where we talk about support gifts. But I want you to remember that each of these gifts is important, and you have at least one. You probably have more than one. And we're going to keep talking about them. Again, you may be wondering if you have any of these gifts. Maybe you're unsure, but as we go through the weeks, pay attention, because you eventually hear one that is yours, if not several. So what does it look like when somebody's using their gifts? Well, you've been watching somebody do that the whole time. Now, I'm not talking about the talent of signing, but I'm talking about the way that Becky is using her gifts. You know, Becky, I was thinking about you and what I know about you, and I could easily say that Becky has the gift of helping and encouragement. She's talented, but she also has the spiritual gifts of helping and encouragement. Now, she might have some others that she'll identify, but I see those. So I've asked Becky to come and share with you today about how she uses her gifts. Would you welcome Becky Petrie, who heads up our signing ministry?
I'd already forgotten I had to hold this. This is not my forte, talking in front of large groups of people. I'd rather be signing what somebody else is talking. But I want you to know I am part of a team. I have a team of 5 interpreters. 4 of us are here. Sarah, who is interpreting now. Jane and Donna, who are, they're all marvelous interpreters. And we have Wendy, who is very busy, but will often change her schedule to come and sub for one of us. So this church is very blessed, but you're stuck with me right now. Anyway, note to self, don't always tell your pastor things that he might say that you were going to say. I told him that 98% deaf are not in church. There's a reason for this. Hearing parents of deaf children are at the mercy of experts who are telling them, don't sign with your child, they'll never speak. Well, guess what? Probably they won't anyway. It depends on the amount of loss they have, when it happened, yada, yada, blah, blah, blah. So they're trying to follow the experts. Oh, I'm starting to get in this signing. Anyway, they're trying to follow what the experts are saying. So those children have been in school where they sign, and then they go home, and there's no signing. And they're feeling separate and alone and aloof and divided from their family because their family's hearing and they're deaf. Now, praise God, that's not all hearing parents of deaf children. The other reason they don't go to church is sometimes deaf people will go to a hearing church and someone will say, oh, you're deaf, I'll pray for you. Well, they accept their deafness. They'll pray for you, your hearing. That's sign impaired, if you didn't know that. So anyway, there's a myriad of reasons. This church's opinion is that every church should be accessible to the deaf. And for that reason, we have a signed service. And it's also a fine art. You'd be amazed the number of people that have come up to us and say, we get so much more out of the service when we watch you. Well, that's really nice, but guess what? It's not for you. It's to make this church accessible to the deaf. And you can help with that. You have a gift. If you see someone deaf, or use your Facebook, put it on your Facebook. First United Methodist Church is accessible to the deaf. We have an interpreted service at 9:30, and if you want a different service, we'll interpret another service. So Jesus left the 99 safe sheep in the fold, and he went out to find the one that was lost. Now, I don't mean to imply there are not any found deaf sheep. There are a ton, but it could be so much more. I probably didn't exactly talk like you wanted to talk me.
You did great. Anyway. So before you go, let me just point out something. Becky's talent, among many, is being able to sign. That's a talent. But I said she had the gift of helping and encouragement, but I just saw two others. One was leadership, because she leads this team. And she leads them in a ministry of reaching people who are deaf with God's love. So that's important. It's being used for God's purpose. The other is teaching, because as she was speaking, she was helping me understand how I might use my life as a blessing to others, beginning with understanding the population that we're talking about, people who are deaf, and not to be condescending, but to be invitational and loving and caring, inclusive, and ways that I might reach out to them. So I just saw two more gifts in you. Thank you for that. And I bet there are others. Would you show your appreciation to Becky? Thank you. Thank you. And we really appreciate this team. I'm grateful you introduced all of them, because they are remarkable week after week doing this, and it takes an incredible amount of practice. But I want to talk about you just as we finish up, because no matter who you are, if you've decided to follow Jesus, to follow Jesus Christ, you are gifted, and you have an important part in God's kingdom that you need to fulfill. God doesn't just say, follow me and watch. It's follow me. Let's go. Let's change the world. So my question for you this morning is, what are you waiting for? Because a lot of you have just written off the idea that you have spiritual gifts. And if you did say, well, maybe I do, I don't know what they are, keep going. Don't give up on this, because they're there. What is to keep you from using your gift to strengthen, support, bring hope, love, and transformation to this world? After all, that's exactly why God has gifted you. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for all gifts, especially for the gifts of your congregation here this morning. Now, as we leave today, we could just go back to life as we've lived it, ignoring our gifts, or rather, saying, Lord, this is new territory for me, but I'm willing to try. Help me to discover my gifts and figure out how to deploy them, how to use them, that I can see hope and love and transformation all around. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So some gifts, spiritual gifts, are very public. You can see them, and Jeremy just mentioned those guys. Some are behind the scenes, but they are equally important. Did you presume that the donuts just showed up this morning, the coffee and the juice, that the PowerPoint, the sound, and the live stream got run, that people were there with bulletins to greet you? I mean, there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes. Every gift is important. And whether yours is up front or behind the scenes, I hope that you will discover, deploy, and see the joy of using the gifts that God has given you, because you're part of the way He transforms the world and brings light into darkness. Go in peace and go in love. Amen.